Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you would like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search RockC3 for our app. This is the first week of our new series called Live Again. And this week, Pastor Josh explains that when you are in a valley of death, you need to make sure to have life in your bones by looking for life and listening to the Lord. Enjoy the message.
Well, hello, Rock Church. How's everybody doing? You guys good? Good, man. It's good to see you guys. I'm glad you're with us today. And how many of y'all are excited that college football and pro football kicked off this weekend? Are you with me? Some of you? Anybody watch yesterday? Anybody watch a little football yesterday? All right. All you Gamecock fans, you're still undefeated. That's the beauty. So you're good there. I know Clemson, you guys had a game last night. If you're a fan there, Notre Dame played, and I was excited because they're going to win the ACC this year. Yeah, I knew I wouldn't get any love on that one, Scott. None. I knew it wouldn't come. So, hey, but a lot of different things. Big thing to celebrate, Coastal whooped Kansas last night, right? Let's give it up for our hometown team. So, love that. We've got several kids that play on that football team that attend the Rock. So excited about that. And then we got NFL kicking off today. We got the Washington team. Okay. So proudly supporting. There's like four fans in America. Okay. Three of them are here today. Okay. But no. And then Carolina Panther fans. Anybody Carolina Panther fans? Good. Because you're going down today by the Las Vegas Raiders, which is my second favorite team. And you have to root for the Raiders this year because they have two Horry County boys playing for them. All right, so we're celebrating there. But anyway, enough about football. I'm glad you're here today. It's going to be a great day. If you're new with us, you picked a great time to come. All right, and I say that all the time, honestly. I always say that. But the reason I'm saying it is this, is that there is a lot going on at the Rock. Awesome opportunities for you to get involved and to get teamed up and connected with some people. And then today, it's another great reason to be here, is because we're launching a new series that I really believe fits right into our life and in where we're at in America right now. That we really need to come to a good understanding of what it means to live again. I don't know if you know this, but it was 6 months ago this weekend that COVID hit America. 6 months ago this weekend. It was 6 months ago that I was in the Dominican Republic. I was on a mission trip, came home to a house with no toilet paper and no cleaning supplies. And then I showed up at church and I preached and we talked about this pandemic. I know some people call it something else, but we'll call it a pandemic. And out of this pandemic, we thought, well, I don't know how long it's going to last. But I remember getting in front of you and preaching and saying there's chaos all around America right now, but we can find our confidence in Christ. And I still believe that message I preached back then. I still believe it is true today. But I'll be honest, when I preached it 6 months ago, I thought 2, 3, 4 weeks later, we'd be past COVID and we'd be moving on to something else. Anybody with me on that? You thought it was just going to be in and out and moving on, right? But that's not what it's done. Like, it has been totally different. What we thought was going to be a sprint, like, turned into, like, a marathon. And then what really we thought was going to be a marathon turned more like into a triathlon. You know what I mean? And I don't have a clue where we're at in the process. I don't know if you want to call it a triathlon. I don't know if we're in the swim part. I don't know if we're in the biking part. I don't know if we're in the running part. I have no clue when it comes to COVID, all right? I'm not a doctor. I'm a preacher. But this is what I do know. It's time to live again. That it is time to live again, because in our world, we have been stripped of life. on many fashions. And I don't just mean because COVID has changed the way we do church or go shopping or go to school. I mean, so much has happened in America over the last 6 months. And as Christ followers, as people, we need to get to a good understanding of what it means to find life in Christ. Unfortunately, we live in a society where it seems like all we have is death. Seems like all we have is things around us that have stripped us of life. And what I want us to do over the next 3 weeks is talk about what does it mean to live again. That we got to figure it out, all right? And we might have to figure it out like Brad Pitt did in World War Z, all right? We might have to figure it out like Sandra Bullock did in Bird Box, or my favorite of all time, Will Smith, and figure out how to live again the way he did in I Am Legend, okay? Any Will Smith fans? I thought I'd get a little bit more love on that part, guys. A little bit, because he's the man, all right? But bottom line is they all figured out ways in these movies to live again. And the good thing is it's not like we have to come up with a new idea. It's not like to live again that we've got to start all over, that we've got to invent something. All we have to do is turn to God's Word. And when we turn to God's Word, we will see that through Christ, it is possible to have life. And that's what really this message is about. It's honestly what the next 3 weeks are about. That we're going to look at one story for 3 weeks. And each week, I'm going to build upon it. Each week, I'm going to add to it. And so I'm going to encourage you not just to be here today, but to make sure for the next 3 weeks that you're with us either on campus or online, because we're going to add to this story. We're going to continue in this story and to see how, if we just take this one story, we can see how Christ wants us to have life and have it to the full. The story is an obscure one, honestly. It's a story that I don't think I've ever preached in my ministry career. I know I have never preached it here, but I was trying to go back through my brain. I don't think I've ever preached it. It's a story that even if you've grown up in church, chances are you might not know it. It comes from a guy named Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a guy that is found in the Old Testament part of the Bible. Ezekiel was a prophet of God. Now, all that really means is he was a preacher, all right? Today we call him a preacher. Back then they'd call him a prophet. His job was to communicate to the nation of Israel. And he did that, and he stood up and he preached in front of them, and he said, guys, you're walking away from God. And if you keep walking away from God, you're going to suffer the consequences of those actions. And sure enough, the Israelite nation, they suffered the consequences of their actions, and they were ransacked, and they were taken as captives of the Babylonian Empire, all right? Now, you can read about this in the Bible, or you could go to history books and you can read about it, all right? This is just something that in world history that we can read about. Well, what happened is the Babylonian Empire, they besieged Jerusalem. They took thousands of Israelites captive, took them back to the Babylonian, and the people had to live there as slaves. Well, Ezekiel is one of those guys who was writing and preaching during this time. This would have been in the 500 BC era, around about 590 or so is when they would have been taken captives. And then sometime over the next 70 years, we don't know exactly, but sometime over the next 70 years, he wrote this part of a book that we call the Book of Ezekiel, that he relayed this vision that he got from God, because he had been saying to him, guys, if we don't straighten up, we're going to suffer the consequences of our sin. Well, now they're in the midst of their consequences. They're in the midst of a bad time. They're in the midst of a struggle. They're in a midst where their world has been turned upside down, and they feel like death is all around them, and they're looking for life. Sound like a familiar time? I mean, it was 2,500 years ago that was happening, but kind of sounds like a little bit of today. And in the midst of that, that's when Ezekiel gave him this message that came from God. We find in Ezekiel 37, you have your phone, your Bible, you can turn there. If not, it's on the screen. This is what it said. It said, the Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. So I want you to visualize what's going on. That Ezekiel's taken like in a vision to this valley where there's bones everywhere. And these bones aren't like fresh, like they are dried out. In other words, what he's trying to say is these bones weren't like mostly dead, they were all dead. Okay? Like, hear that in your best Princess Bride voice, okay? That these bones weren't mostly dead, they were all dead. They were fully dead. That they were as dead can be. That Ezekiel's seeing all around him, and the only thing he can see is death. Well, let's pause in the story right there for a second. Because I think for many of us, that's kind of where we're at right now. That as you look around, you just see death. That you see things that just seem to be dying. You might think of that physically, like literally, like you've witnessed people die over the last 6 months. They might have died because of cancer. They might have died because of COVID. They might have died because of some other cause, but you have experienced some kind of death. And even in America over the last 6 months, the way we've had to deal with that death is different than we normally do. And so you look at that and you just feel like, man, there's just death around me. And that's physical death, but then there's also kind of figurative death that seems like is all around us right now. That maybe figuratively, like you look at your marriage and you just feel like, man, my marriage is dead. Like there's no life in my marriage right now. Maybe you look at your finances and maybe it's just been a bad season with your job or with your bank account and you just feel like, man, when it comes to my finances, they are dead right now. It's like there's no life there. Or maybe it's your career or maybe think about your school and you're just like, man, school is not what I thought it was going to be this year. It just feels like there's no life there. It's just dead because we're having to go to school differently than we used to. Or my career seems like it's a dead-end job and it's just there's no life there. Maybe you think about our nation right now and you just go, man, I'm worried about our nation and it just feels like it's dead right now, that there's no life in our nation. That maybe it's a relationship that you've had or family that you're a part of, and maybe you look at your parents and you're worried about your parents and you just feel like there's no life in my family, or you look at your kids and you're worried about your kids and you're just like, there's no life there. It feels like everywhere you look, you see signs of death. Maybe even in your faith. Maybe if you think about your faith walk right now, you're like, man, Josh, if I was just to be honest, like I just feel like my faith, I'm just kind of going through the motions because it feels like there's almost like death in my, like the absence of life in my faith walk. Almost like God has been absent. And you might feel that way for different reasons. It might be because you're kind of abstaining from God right now. That you're basically saying, God, because of the junk in my life, because of the things that you've done, because of these bad things, God, I'm going to keep you at an arm's distance right now because I just don't know if I can trust you anymore. Maybe you feel like your faith and God is a little bit more like this. Or maybe you feel like there's an absence of life in your faith because your faith with God is more like this. You know what I mean? Kind of this avoidance of God. It's like you know that there's some sin in your life, you know that there's some junk in your life, and you're just like, God, I don't know if I really want to go into the spotlight. I don't know if I really want to be right there with you, God. I think I'd rather avoid you a little bit right now because there's some junk in my life. Or maybe the faith walk, the reason you don't feel like there's life there, maybe you feel an absence of God, is just because you just don't know God. I'd call an ignorance of God. And I mean that term in this way. You just don't know God. And that might be because, you know, you've never really been in church. You've never started a faith walk with Christ. Maybe you didn't grow up in a home where your parents or your grandparents taught you that. So you're just like, well, I'm here. I just found myself here. I had a friend invite me, and I thought, yeah, I'll just go. But maybe you're sitting here, and you're just like, I'm here, but I don't even know who this God is, this Ezekiel guy. Like, so I just don't even know. Well, my challenge today would simply be this, that what would it look like if we changed our perspective? What would it be like if rather than looking around and seeing death, Rather than looking around and seeing an absence of God, rather than looking around and seeing the negative things that are going on, what would happen if we changed our perspective? What would it be like if we just said, okay, I actually want to look towards God, not away from God, and I want to see things differently? Because, see, I think that's what happens in this story. Is I think God took Ezekiel to this valley of dry bones, and he said, what do you see? And Ezekiel's like, I see death. I see bones. It's all I see. And then God's like, now let me change your perspective. And this is what it says next. It says this, then he, meaning God, said to me, meaning Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? And I love that question. I often like to put myself in the story, and I'm thinking, if I'm Ezekiel right now, is this like a rhetorical question? Is like God asking this, and Ezekiel's like, am I supposed to answer? You know what I mean? Like, is this a test, God? Like, I wonder if Ezekiel in that moment, he's like, well, God, if you really want me to answer, like, I want to say no, because they're dead. And once something's dead, it's dead. Except Ezekiel could have thought, well, I remember my predecessor, Elijah, a prophet who had lived about 300 years earlier. I remember one time a widow's son died, and he went and he laid down on the boy, and he breathed into him, and the son came back to life. I remember a time after Elijah, there was a guy named Elisha, and Elisha actually brought two people back from the dead. Elisha breathed on a man who had died, and he came back to dead. But then even after Elisha died and Elisha was in a tomb, there was a funeral procession going by. And as the funeral procession was going by, they came under attack. So they took the dead man and they threw him in the grave where Elisha's bones laid. And when the guy hit Elisha, he came back to life. Now, how freaky is that, right? You know what I mean? But Ezekiel would have known that story. He was a preacher. He would know that 300 years earlier that had happened. So I wonder if when God says, can they live again? I wonder if Ezekiel's like, I don't know how to answer. So he answers in the best way possible. God, only you know. Guys, I want you to understand that's one of the best answers you can ever get in your life. Is when you put yourself in a position where your answer is, God knows. Why is this happening? I don't know, but God knows. What do I do in this situation? I don't know, but God knows. How do I make it through this trial? I don't know, but God knows. God knows your situation, and God can take care of you. What Ezekiel is doing in this moment, he's like, God, I don't know if they can live, but if they can, you're going to be the reason they can. Like, if there's any way that these bones can come back to life, it is simply going to be through the power of you, God. And when Ezekiel changes his perspective and says, God, you are the answer, you are the one in charge, and you're the one that can do it, Ezekiel put himself in the right position. And that's a position that we need to place ourselves in, where we change our perspective, start looking for life rather than death, because we know, well, wait, if God enters into my marriage, then God can bring my marriage back from the dead. If God enters into my family, then God can bring my family back from the dead. If God enters my finances, then God can bring my finances back from the dead. If God enters my life, then God can bring my life back from what seems like death. Is this making sense? That we've got to ask God to be the one who moves, because he's the one who has the power. And that's the reason I want to challenge you. Look for life and look for God. But don't just look, you also have to listen. Now, can we be honest for a second? Is it hard to hear God sometimes in the noisy world we live in? Yeah? You with me? Like, how many of you all would agree we live in a very noisy world? And we bring it on ourselves many times. You know what I mean? Like, we put a little earbud in while we got the TV on, while we've got, you know, our computer playing something else on YouTube. Like, we have noise all around us all the time. Like, some of you, you're like, you can't sleep unless you have a radio on or a TV on or a fan and the noise coming from a fan. Anybody? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like you want noise. And even right now in the midst of COVID, I want you to think about this. This is probably in all of my life been the time where it had the possibility of being the quietest. And here's what I mean. No new TV shows, no new movies to go to, no entertainment, no live sports was being played forever. I couldn't go to a restaurant for a long season. So in my life, it had the potential of being the quietest it's ever been. Yet how many of y'all would say the last 6 months has been the noisiest it's ever been when it comes to news and social media? Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's been loud. And at a time where there's been what seems like death all around us, bad things all around us, at the time where we should be listening for the Lord the most is when we've pulled away. So what would it look like if we just started saying, okay, God, I'm going to look for life and I'm going to listen for life. I'm going to listen for your word. See, that's what happens next in the story. Let me read it. It says this. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to these bones. Now, prophetic, again, all that means is preach. Preach to these bones. And say to these dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. Now, again, I want you to picture it. That God is speaking to Ezekiel, and Ezekiel's like, Ezekiel, what do you see? I see death. I see skeletons. I see bones. And then God says, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to preach to them. So God, you're asking me to preach to dead people. Does that sound weird to anybody? Like, I don't know if you know it or not, but I like to preach to live crowds. Like when you laugh, when you talk, when you say amen, when you say yes, when you raise your hand, like that helps me, you know what I mean? Because as I'm preaching, I see you interacting, I see you engage, I can see you. I can also see when you're falling asleep, I can also see when you're playing on your phone, just know that. But that still helps me too, because I'm like, all right, Josh, you got to change your perspective, you got to do something, you got to get loud or something. See, it just did it, you know what I mean? Like I get it because I get reaction. I can just imagine Ezekiel in the moment saying, God, this might be kind of hard because they're kind of dead. Like, okay, what do you want me to say to them? Oh, say, listen to the word of the Lord. All right, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. Cricket. Anything else, God? Oh, yeah, say this. Say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Guys, there's some really important things that are seen in here, all right? Over the next 3 weeks, like I said, we're going to unpack this in full. But today, let me just point them out to you. It says this, that you will live again in the first sentence. And then it says you'll have muscles and skin, which means you'll be able to stand again. And then in the last sentence, it says, I'll put my breath into you and you will come to life. You'll be able to breathe again. And when you can live again and stand again and breathe again, that's when you're going to know that I am the Lord. That's when I'm going to know it. That's when you're going to know it. Because you're going to see me at work. Because again, Ezekiel said, the only way these dry bones live is if you do something about it, God. Then look what happens. He says that. And suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley that the bones started to rattle. The bones of each body started to come together and attach themselves as complete skeletons. Again, visualize this, that Ezekiel's preaching and all of a sudden starts to rattle. He starts to hear a noise. Bones start to move. They start to come together. I don't know about you, but I'd be freaking out. I don't do scary movies. I don't do haunted houses. So I'd been freaked out already. But then in that moment to see him coming together, be like, whoa, okay. But it didn't just stop there. It says, then they got tendons, they got ligaments, they got muscle, they got skin. You know what that means? It means that they were able to start to stand. They were able to get strength in their legs, strength in their arms, that they weren't just bones, but now they had the structure that they were able to stand. And not only were they able to stand, it says, then the breath of the Lord came into them and they were able to breathe. Through God, you can live again, stand again, and breathe again. And you might hear that and say, okay, that's great. But that's a story from 2,500 years ago. How does it help me today? Because that was just a vision. Like, I need something that's real. Well, let me tell you, it was real then, and it came real in life through Christ about 500 years later. Because Jesus came on the scene about 500 years after this prophecy, after this moment that Ezekiel was preaching. And when we see Jesus living on this earth, what we see him doing is helping people live again, stand again, and breathe again. We see a woman who had an issue of blood. She'd been bleeding for 12 years. And that sounds bad in itself, but I want you to think about it from this angle. Because of that, it meant that she was unclean. So she couldn't go around her family. She couldn't go around her friends. She couldn't go to church. She had to quarantine herself. She had to isolate herself and be all alone. That she was stripped of life. And then she took all of her money and she spent it on doctors to try to get healthy. That she was saying, this has got to stop, okay? And nothing happened. And then one day she heard Jesus was coming through town, so she snuck up behind Jesus and touched the edge of his cloak. Immediately he felt the power go out from him, and she was healed. And he said, who touched me? And the disciples like, dude, like everybody's touching you. Everybody's all around you. And he's like, no, someone touched me. I felt the power go out from me. And this woman said, well, it was me. And he said, daughter, your faith has healed you. You're free. In essence, what he said is, you can live again. There was a leper who basically had the same situation. He was isolated. He was quarantined. He couldn't go to church, couldn't be around his family, couldn't have a job, nothing because of his skin disease. And in the midst of that, he heard about Jesus, and he yelled out to Jesus one day when Jesus was going by, and he said, Jesus, if you're willing, you can heal me. And Jesus didn't just say, I'm willing. Jesus didn't just yell back, yep, be clean. No, what Jesus did is he went to this man. He knelt down on his level and put his hands on him and said, I'm willing. He touched him. Here's a guy who had been absent of human contact for however long he had this disease. And Jesus said, in the moment, you matter to me. Have your life back. Let me pause here for a second, because some of you are in that place right now. I know this because every service I've had people come up to me afterwards and say, that's me. I feel like because of COVID, I feel like because of what's been going on in our world the last 6 months, I've been isolated. I haven't been able to be around my family. I haven't been able to be around my friends. That I've been struggling. It's brought on depression. It's brought on anxiety. It's brought on darkness in your life. And for some of you, you're here, and this is kind of the place that you have found, a place to at least get a little bit of community back into your life. But I know some of you are watching online right now, and here's what I want to say is, in Christ, you don't have to be alone. In Christ, you don't have to be alone. That Jesus looks at you, and he doesn't just say from afar, be healed, you can have your life back. No, he steps into your life in a spiritual way, through his spirit to your spirit, and in a very practical way, he says, let me help you live again, and let me help you find community. Right now, if you're struggling with that, I want you to know, in Christ, you can live again. And you can find the health and the community you're looking for. But you can also stand again. Because in Christ, he helps us to stand. I think about a lame man who was laid in front of Jesus. His legs didn't work. He couldn't stand. And Jesus didn't look at him and immediately say, stand up. No, instead, Jesus looked at him and said, your sins are forgiven. Because what Jesus knows is that for us to be able to stand, the most important thing is for our sins to be forgiven. And when he said that, the people said, Jesus, you can't say that. Only God can forgive sins. But Jesus said, so that you might know that I have the power to forgive sins, young man, stand up and walk. And the young man got strength in his legs. His ankles started working. His knees started working. His hips started working. And he stood up and he praised God. His sins were forgiven, and he was healed. I think about an adulterous woman, a woman caught in the midst of her sin, caught red-handed, sinning. And they threw her in front of Jesus, and they said, Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. What should we do to her right now? The law says that we should stone her, which means pick up rocks and throw them at her until she's dead. But what do you say, Jesus? And Jesus just paused, and then he eventually said to him, I'll tell you what, whichever one of you is without sin, you go ahead and throw the first stone. And all of a sudden, the rocks started to drop to the ground, and from the oldest to the youngest man, they all walked away. You can picture this woman cowering, thinking that she's getting ready to die. And Jesus says, hey, where are your accusers? And I wonder if she kind of said, they're gone. Because, see, remember, Jesus is still there. So Jesus could have picked up a rock. They're gone. He says, that's right. Neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. You know what that means to us? See, I think a lot of times we allow sin into our life. And when we allow sin into our life, it is a weight that we cannot bear on our own. Now, when you allow sin into your life, it's like a weight that you put on your shoulders, and it's like it pushes you down to the ground. The guilt, the consequences, the struggle, and you find yourself where you can't stand up. Guys, I've been there. You've been there. We all understand it. We've all done things that we know are not of God. And when we do that, we sin, and we take on a weight. And what's wrong is many times we think, well, the way to take care of that weight is for me to start taking it off by doing other good things. And as long as I do some good things, eventually that weight will leave. No, it won't. We can't take care of our sin problem by doing enough good things. There's only one way to take care of our sin problem, and Jesus did it when he went to the cross and he died for us. And by doing so, he said, let me take that sin off of your shoulders and put it on mine. Isn't that good news? Because through that, what Jesus does, he says, now you can stand because you don't have to bear the weight of your own sin. So I want you to know that today you can give your sin to Jesus and you can be free and you can stand knowing by the grace of God, I no longer have the weight of sin on me. But when you do that, here's the next crucial point. When you leave this place today, on your way out, don't say, oh, wait, I got to pick my sin back up and put it back on my shoulders. Because see, too many times, that's what we do. We give our sin to Jesus and then we leave and we step right back into sin. No, Jesus said to the adulterous woman, leave your life of sin. Go and sin no more. So let's give it to him, and then let's quit walking in a pattern or a habit of sin. See, you can live again. You can stand again. And lastly, I'll say this, you can breathe again. That in the story, the breath came into the skeleton's lungs and they were able to breathe. In Jesus' day, he was walking down the road. He saw a widow who was putting her son, who was having a funeral for her son. So she's not only a widow now, but now she has no kids. And Jesus saw her and his heart went out to her and he walked up to her, walked up to the coffin and he touched the young man and he said, young man, get up. And the young man started breathing again. There was a guy named Jairus who was losing his daughter. He said, Jesus, can you go and heal my daughter? She's about to die. And sure enough, by the time Jesus got there, she was dead. And people were out front, and they were weeping, and they were crying. And Jesus said, don't cry. She's going to breathe again. And they made fun of him. And they're like, no way. And Jesus walked in, and he grabbed the little girl by the hand, and he said, young girl, get up. And she started breathing again. Lazarus was a guy in a tomb. He had been there for 4 days. And Jesus came when he got to this funeral. His sisters walked out to him, meaning Lazarus' sisters, and they said, hey, Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus said, don't you believe? He will live again. Basically, he will breathe again. And they're like, well, yeah, we know he'll live again at the resurrection. And Jesus like, no, he's going to breathe again today. And he looked at the people. He said, roll away the stone. And they're like, no, no, he's been in there 4 days. There'll be an odor. We can't roll away the stone yet. And Jesus said, no. Roll away the stone. And the stone was rolled away, and he yelled into that cave, and I can just imagine him kind of saying it like this: Lazarus, you've been dead. It's time to get up. And he started breathing again, and he came forth. Jesus has the power to bring dead things back to life. And you might look at that and say, well, that's great, Josh, but those were like physical things that he did. Could he still do that today? Listen, if Jesus has the power to bring a dead person back to life, don't you think he's got enough power to bring your marriage back to life, your finances back to life, your job back to life? If he can do that, he can easily do those things. But will you look to him and will you listen for him? Because that's what it takes. But then there's one step further. There's one step better. That he just doesn't want to bring those things back to life. He wants to bring you back to life. He wants to help you breathe again. And what he did on the cross and in the grave, and when he'd been in the grave 3 days, and on that third day, all of a sudden, his chest started moving again. His nostrils started moving again. His lungs were moving. His abdomen was moving. And he was breathing again. And because Jesus was breathing again, then he stood again. And because he stood again, he said, Rock, get out of my way. I got to show the world that I'm living again. And because of what he did there, he can do that in your life. Not just here, but for all of eternity. See, it's important that he brings the things here back to life, and he wants to. But the most important thing is that he brings your soul back to life, and he does that eternally. So a question that I would simply ask you as we're going into a time of response is, do you want to live again? Do you want to live again? Do you want to allow God to bring dead things back to life in your life? Because that's what he wants to do, both here and for all of eternity. Because as Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy and rob you of life, Jesus came to give you life, and life in abundance, life to the full. So again, do you want to live again? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to spend some time singing. And if you notice on the front end, we just sing a couple songs because we wanted to leave a lot of room on the back end for us to really go before the Father, because I want you to sit with this message for a little bit. I want you to sit in it a little bit. And I want you to really ask yourself this question: am I ready to live again? Because one, you can respond to Christ today. And when you respond to Christ for the first time in your life, he will allow you to breathe again. He'll allow you to stand again. He'll allow you to live again. And maybe you've never done that. I want you to know right now, Christ is pursuing you. That he wants to be in a relationship with you. That he wants to be in community with you. That he wants to heal you. He wants to restore you. He wants to take the weight of sin off of your shoulders and set you free. Well, if you've never responded to God's gift of grace, today is the day to find life. And maybe you want to do that by coming up front and taking communion. Maybe you want to just say a prayer and just say, Jesus, I need you. I want to breathe again. I want to live again. I want to stand again. And ask Christ to come into your life. Maybe you're ready today to take the step of baptism. We had somebody during the last hour that I know they didn't come here planning on getting baptized today. They were sitting in the back working. All right? And what I mean by working is they were serving. And they were like, I got to get baptized today. We're always ready for you if that's your decision. Because maybe today that's it. You're just saying, I'm ready to place my faith in Christ, or I'm ready to walk out my faith in Christ. And maybe today, like, you've already placed your faith in Christ, but you know you've had the weight of sin on your shoulder because there's something you haven't surrendered to Christ yet. Maybe today's the day where you say, Jesus, I'm going to live.
again?
By giving you that sin. I'm going to die to myself so that I can live for you. Today would be a great day to do that. Or maybe what you're going to do today while we're singing these songs is you're just going to be thankful for the life that God has given you. Because you know, man, my life used to be dead. But my life is alive now. Then my life used to be a wreck. But in Christ, I have found a life and life to the full.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you would like to learn more about how to give to God through the Rock, you can find that information on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.